Hey, hey. And that was weak. I said, hey, hey. What's up, everybody? Hey, man, I am so glad to be a part of this church. I tell people all the time, and this sounds like a joke, but it's not. I would come to this church even if I wasn't the pastor. That's true. Man, you guys are incredible. It's such a fun thing to be part of a church that's like happening and thriving, and the people are incredible. I told you guys a few weeks ago, most churches collect crazy. We collect awesome. So welcome to Motion if you're a guest. This is the collection of the most fantastic people in the world, in my humble opinion. Today we're continuing our series called Love, and it's simply an acronym. And we're looking at some of the characteristics or components of love, and we've already covered the L and the O, and today we're going to hit the V, right? And so we've talked about how love is loyal, and the last week we talked about how love is optimistic, how we look for the good in people rather than the bad, even though that's not necessarily our tendency or nature. Come on, somebody. Right? Because most of you, I know you don't do that, but I do that sometimes. Like, I look at people and I find faults rather than finding the good in them and finding the potential in them. But that's just me because, you know, I'm the pastor and I'm the only one that does that. Right? So today, what we're going to look at is how love is, I'm not going to tell you yet. We're going to talk about why this is so important first. It's so important because Jesus said this is like the indicator to the world that you live in that you follow him, that you follow Jesus to his disciples. He's like, this is how the world knows that you belong to me, that you follow me, if you go to church regularly, right? If you pay your tithes, if you pray a whole lot, right? If you act super spiritual, if you serve the poor. He didn't say any of that. And all of those things are awesome. But he said, the world knows that you're my disciples if you love one another, you love each other. And as a dad, I kind of get that. Like, it makes sense to me. Like, one of the greatest feelings in the world is when my kids act like they actually like each other. Because most of the time, they don't, right? They're like, God, I'm like, just pretend. Fake it till you make it. Make me think that you like each other. And when I turn my back, beat the crap out of each other. It's fine. Just trick me. Make me assume that you love each other. And so God is this father. I imagine that that's how he feels with us, his children. He's like, man, can't y'all just love each other? Can't we all just get along? That's how God feels, I think. I don't know that he would say it quite like that, but he probably would because God is trendy. So the V, we could have talked about how the V means value, right? Adding value to our relationships. And that would be good, right? We could have talked about victory. Our relationships are supposed to be victorious because you've seen a lot of them that are not, right? And you could talk about vows and commitment and you know, through that. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about something that's so much easier. Today's going to be really feel good. You're going to leave this place and you're going to be like, yeah. And we're talking about being vulnerable, right? That's easy. Just go ahead and just open yourself up to you know, criticism. Open yourself up. Let people know the struggles that you have, the weaknesses that you had, the failures that you've experienced. No problem with that, right? Simple. And so that's what we're going to look at today because I'm convinced that to really love somebody, you've got to open yourself up to some degree. And we can, here's a caveat. There are layers to this. There are levels to this. I think there are levels of vulnerability. You don't just walk around and tell anybody and everybody everything, right? Like, just think about this in a logical sense for a minute. You don't walk around and tell a complete stranger that you're struggling with hemorrhoids, right? Like, you would reserve that information for people that you really, really know and that know you and would probably help you do something about it. You don't just go announce things like that to the world. You don't go on first dates and tell them about all of the insecurities that you've ever felt, right? Like, there are levels of vulnerability, and you can be guarded to a degree, but at the end of the day, I think if you open yourself up is when you open yourself up to love. Preach. Okay, I did. All right, so here we go. Without further ado, love is vulnerable. I think that love is a risky venture. I think love is a high-risk, high-reward scenario, right? You hear people all the time that play the stock market, and some people do kind of these really high-risk portfolios, and it's like, we're going to put a lot of money in, and it may go really bad, or it may go really good, and you hear both of the stories, and I think love is a lot like that. I think it's something that if you invest yourself and you open yourself up, it can go really good, or it can go really bad. It's one of those things that can be risky. It's one of those things that because it's risky, I think a lot of people have a common practice of not letting people in, or at least not letting people into the degree that we're called to as followers of Jesus, because think about the example that he set. Just think about this for a minute, because this is the world that we live in. It's like, don't let people close, don't let people in, don't let people hurt you, fool me once, right? That's the world that we live in. But Jesus didn't live like that. Jesus devoted his life to 12 guys, right? 12 guys. Jesus is omnipotent. He knows everything. That would be omniscient, one of those omni words, right? So he knows everything. So he devotes his life to 12 guys, opens up to them, tells them about some of the rejections that he's going to experience. I mean, he's vulnerable to them, knowing that every last one of them is going to walk out at some point, right? How much more vulnerable do you get than that? And that's the life that Jesus lived. And to be Christ, to be a Christian, is to be Christ-like. And we're called to be vulnerable. And it's hard. And let's just be honest. This is frank and maybe coarse, but vulnerability sucks. Because you open yourself up to, if I went through life and I was hard all of the time and I never let anybody in and I never let anybody close, I would never get hurt. But I would never experience love. And it's better to have lived and loved than to never experience love at all, right? And it's difficult. I was thinking about this. I was laying in my bed last night. I just kind of went over my notes one last time. And we have a couple of pups. We've got some dogs. How many dog people do we have? Hey, you can trust a dog person. Cat people? Not so much. I'm going to leave you alone. But so we've got one of our dogs is just, she's about 10 years old. She is fantastic, the greatest thing since sliced bread. She's awesome. And so I was thinking about how awful it's going to be when the time comes that she passes on. But then I was thinking about how that pales in comparison to the years that we got to experience with our dog, the times that we got to spend with our dog, the times that I would come home from work or a long day or where I'm just not feeling very great. And I'd come home and I'd sit on the couch and my dog would come snuggle up next to me and everything's okay, right? Hey, I'm getting emotional thinking about your dogs, right? And I was thinking, like, if we focus on the wrong things, then we'll never put ourselves through those experiences because we dread the end. But if you dread the end, you don't enjoy the experiences. And the experiences so far outweigh the bad, the good so far outweighs the bad. But it all depends on what you focus on. And so I think being vulnerable is good if we can focus on the upside. It's crazy with that quote that you guys have probably all heard, it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. I was reading an article about that, and that they did some research and they interviewed some people and they kind of sent out some poll questions, and more people regret not being in certain relationships or pursuing certain relationships than people regret being in bad relationships. So the regret of inactivity, the regret of not being involved is greater than the regret of activity or action or being in a bad relationship. Isn't that crazy? And so for me, it's kind of like it makes sense. Like the fact that you would be willing to put yourself out there, there's less risk really involved with that. And so here's the definition of vulnerable so that we all have a clear understanding of what the heck we're talking about. Vulnerable means susceptible to physical or emotional attack or harm. That's encouraging, right? Make yourself susceptible to physical or emotional attack or harm. And I think, let's back off that train. If you're susceptible to physical attack, we've got some dudes in the church that are just barely saved that can take care of that for you. You understand? I'll leave it at that. Just let us know. And if some dudes show up at your house, just walk out the back door and everything's under control. And we didn't have this conversation. Delete that from the recording. Thank you. But I do think kind of the emotional aspect of that is like you have to open yourself to truly experience love, then you have to open yourself up emotionally. And I know this is not necessarily easy for some specific personalities. There's some crazy psychology and sociology and stuff involved with this. But I think at the end of the day, if we want to really experience love, if we want to love and be loved, then we have to open ourselves up and be vulnerable. I think another way to help us to understand this is maybe by using some reinforcing terms. And the one that comes to mind is authentic. Because it's funny how we do this in the church world. Like, we have buzzwords. Have you ever seen, there was a commercial, I don't remember who it was or what it was about, but these guys go to a conference, and so they have a keynote speaker that stands up, and he just starts naming, like, every possible buzzword in the business world, and everybody knows exactly what he's going to talk about, right? Because it's like, these are the trendy things to say. And we kind of do the same thing in the church world, and one of the buzzwords right now is authentic. Oh, I want to go to a place where it's authentic, but you come with your front. Right? Like, I want to go to a place where they're real, but you come and act fake. I didn't know I was going to preach today. Right? It's this place or this group of people that choose to be honest and open about their struggles. They choose to be honest and open about their mistakes and their past and their failures and their insecurities and their doubts. And we choose to share that with other people because our experience is worthless. But our shared experience is invaluable, right? The things that we can help each other do, the things that we can help each other get through are huge. They're so important. And we don't get to that point unless we're vulnerable. You never get to that point if you walk through the front doors of the church acting like you've got it all together. Come on, man, quit tripping. Quit fronting, right? It's not true. We know it's not true. You know you, and I know me, and I know you for the most part. And I know that and you know me, and you know we all got like these things that we do that we shouldn't do, and we've got these attitudes and these mistakes that we make and these personalities that we have. None of us are perfect. Stop acting like we are. And this church, this is an honest, I say this sometimes kidding, jokingly, but I think here it's much better than it is in a lot of places, and I can throw other churches under the bus because that's cool, right? But I think we do a fairly good job of this. I don't feel like there's a lot of that, you know, the bravado in the front. So that's a congratulatory statement, I suppose. So being open and honest with people and sharing our experiences and our struggles, making us vulnerable, it gives us greater opportunities for growth. It gives us greater opportunity for influence. It gives us greater opportunity for deeper relationships. Because that's what the world needs now is more shallow relationships, right? Like, that's what the world needs now is more relationships. And let's just think about your life for a second. You need more people in your life that when difficulty comes, you can't find them. Right? No. Right? We need people that are there. And they're only there if the relationship has some roots to it, if there's depth to it. And you only get to that point if you're vulnerable, in my opinion, humble as it may be. So we're going to go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is kind of our backdrop for this series. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it gives us a description, an overview of what love is. And we're going to pull a few phrases from this passage with respect to love being vulnerable. Here we go. We're going to read the first three words, and you're all going to be convicted. We're all going to be convicted and walk away defeated, right? Just kidding. Love, verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Man, we could just read this every week, and that's church. I heard a story one time. This is a rabbit trail. I'll promise I'll get back on it. I heard a story one time about a pastor that came in and preached the same thing 4 weeks in a row. And his church folks were like, Pastor, what's the deal, bro? What's going on? And so, like, they're kind of getting upset. They're like, what are you, insulting our intelligence? And he said, are you doing what I've been preaching? Shh. Got him. So, verse 5 says, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And in verse 8, this is my favorite kind of, it's like the love never fails. And so if you look at that overview, there's so much richness to that. There are so many things that we can take away and apply to our life. But specifically regarding vulnerability, there are four phrases from that we're going to pull out today and kind of make that connection. The first one is love does not dishonor others. Love does not dishonor others. And if you think about it for just a second, I don't think this is too far of a stretch to make the connection to vulnerability. Honoring somebody or giving honor to somebody, the definition and the way of understanding it is simply this. If you honor somebody, you add value to them, right? If you honor somebody, you add value to them. Conversely, to dishonor somebody is to not add value or to take away value from somebody. So if you dishonor somebody, you simply don't add value or take away value from them. And I think it's a slight to other people when we don't share our experiences with them, when we don't share our successes and we don't share our success or our failures, when we don't share our struggles and we don't share our doubts, when we don't share our life with other people, I don't think we're adding value to them. Therefore, I don't think we're honoring them. Therefore, our love is dishonoring. Therefore, seemed like the place to put it, right? Our shared experience is invaluable. It adds great value to the lives of other people when you are willing to open yourself up and share with them what's going on in your world or maybe some of the experiences that you've had. And we don't try to put on this front and act like you've got it all together. And church people, we are not us, but generally collectively, church folks are notorious for this. And it's just garbage. It's one of the legitimate, valid criticisms of Christianity. Like, you can bring that hypocrisy thing in here, and I'm gonna swat that crap into the stands, right? Because there's nobody that's perfect. Hypocrisy abounds because it's impossible to be perfect, right? Of course we're hypocrites. Like, this is the standard we're striving for. We're fallible people. We're not going to live up to that standard. So therefore, we're hypocrites. But if you come in here with this, oh, you know, everybody acts like they're, you know, got it all together and they're not being real, you got us, right? Like, I don't have much of an argument. I don't have much of a retort for that argument. There's not much you can say with respect to that kind of argument. And I think we just need to do a better job. Generally, not this church, we're on point, right? But generally, we need to do a better job as Christians of just being a little more authentic, being a little more vulnerable, right? The only way that you'll share your struggles to help others and add value to them is if you're willing to be authentic and you're willing to be vulnerable. So that's the first one, is that love does not dishonor others. And so to honor people, you should be vulnerable, right? Good. The second phrase, is how love is not self-seeking. And this one is so good. I mean, it's all good, but this one's like real good. Love is not self-seeking. That's the second phrase from this passage that pertains to vulnerability. And I think that if you're honest, just think about this logically for a minute, because we got a lot of logical people, right? If you're only concerned with you, how in the world is it that you're ever going to be concerned with the needs of other people? If you are the sun and your world revolves around you, you're not going to be concerned with the issues in other people's lives. You're not going to be concerned with the needs that other people have. You won't open yourself up to other people. You're not going to be vulnerable towards them if you are self-seeking. And I know this is not a problem for our world, because this is not, according to statistics, the most narcissistic generation that's ever existed on the face of planet Earth. Not a problem for us, right? Selfie. This is not something that we have to talk about in church today, because selfishness does not abound. Right? Here's the deal. Let's be honest. Dude, I'm not, if you take selfies, whatever. I don't think you're very cool, but that's you. You can take selfies. Let me back off that train. I know a lot of people take selfies. I ain't trying to get beat up. You can take selfies. Keep the duck face to yourself, all right? Love is not about self-promotion or self-preservation or self-anything. Love is about us promotion. Love is about what can we collectively accomplish. And I think if you love people, nobody in here would ever do this, but a lot of times you see people who enter into relationships with the expectation of getting something in return, and that's the sole reason for entering into the relationship. That's not love. I mean, it seems so obvious. This is love. No, it's not. I was going to do the, but I can't sing. You guys probably wouldn't even know what I'm talking about anyway. Love is more about us promotion. It's about what value can my struggles add to the lives of other people? How can I serve other people by being open and honest about my life? I was talking to somebody this week, and it's funny how, I don't know, when you do what you do, you don't think anything about what you do, right? But it's cool to get some outside perspective sometimes. And so I was talking to somebody this week, and they're like, man, we just really appreciate Motion. We appreciate you being, you know, honest and talking about some of the stuff that you go through. And I'm like, why would I want to do anything else? Like, that's the last thing I want to do. There ain't no way you're not going to walk up into this place and I'm going to have a three-piece suit on and start, like, oratorily telling you what to do with your life because I got it all together, right? Because that's some trash. And if you see anybody, this is what I need you to know. Like, listen, look, if you don't stay at Motion for the rest of your life, something's wrong with you, but just listen to me. Just remember this, if you ever go to a church and the pastor stands up there and there's this attitude or this kind of like, it comes across as if he's got it all together and you need to get up on his level, run. Run as fast and far as you can, because I can promise you this. I've been part of churches. I've been part of churches that you could make a soap opera about. Like, freaking crazy stuff, man. And so if you're ever part of that experience, odds are things going on behind the scenes are cray-cray, and homie does not have it all together, but he's putting on this really good front. Run. But you really need to stay here for the rest of your life. So love is just not self-seeking. It just doesn't think about only what it can get. It thinks about what it can give. And I don't think you make it to that point unless you're willing to be vulnerable, right? The third phrase from that passage is that love rejoices with the truth. You can't handle. Love rejoices with the truth. And I think it comes back to what we discussed earlier about how Christians are fairly notorious for acting like they got it all together. That ain't the truth. Right? We're fairly notorious for putting on fronts. And again, there are levels to this. Like, don't tell complete strangers or people you barely know, you know, like some of the crazy, deep, dark secrets that you've got. Like, reserve that. I think Jesus modeled this concentric circle relationship model. Like, he had his really close inner circle, Peter, James, and John, of three people, and then he had the 12 disciples. And if you look at the stories, he had another group of about 70 followers that, you know, the amount of himself that he invested depended on the closeness of the relationship. So you can be vulnerable to a great degree with those, a little less with those, and a little less with those, being honest all the while, right? So I think that's important. Just, I don't know, figure it out for you. I'm not smart enough to do that for you. You are, and you can do that, right? So love does not rejoice with facades. Love does not rejoice with fronts. Love does not rejoice with phonies. Love does not rejoice with people who walk in and act like they've got it all together. Love does not rejoice. This is the one that's kind of frustrating. Love does not rejoice with people who will not take correction. Because you think you've got it. Pride is such a pain in the butt, man. You've got people who act like there's nothing wrong in their life when clearly there's something wrong in their life. And you know that you can tell them that something's wrong in their life and still be loving? In fact, it's unloving to not correct people sometimes. Just think about your children, right? Think about all the times, like this, I mean, just this morning, I had to tell my son, I almost killed him again. This 2 weeks in a row, and we're talking about love. And I'm like, God, why? If I never corrected him, I don't love him. If I never corrected him and tried to get him on the right path and help him understand what it is that we're doing and why we do the things that we do, it wouldn't be love. It would be just an incredibly selfish act on my part because I'm not making myself vulnerable by putting, you know, all of these emotions and investing so much into the life of this child that doesn't listen. Love is not angry. Man, this is like my therapy session every week. Thank you guys so much. And you don't even charge me. Thank God. But that's the thing. Love just does not rejoice with facades and fronts and phonies. Love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with people that, hey, you know what? We've got some mistakes. We've got some shortcomings. We've got some issues. We've got some sin that we're working through. But thank God love abounds anyway. It says in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all, this is so good, above all, love each other deeply. Deeply. I don't think you get to the deep, to the depths, unless there's vulnerability. Love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. We know we've got mess. You're not fooling anybody. You're especially not fooling God. Let's just be honest and love each other anyway. Love each other through that. Love each other to the point that we work through some of those things together. And if you're not vulnerable, you never get to that point. Love doesn't rejoice with the truth. Love rejoices in spite of all of this. We continue to celebrate each other. We continue to love each other. In spite of the shortcomings that you have, I'm going to love you. In spite of the shortcomings that I've got, I expect you to love me, right? Not just you and me, but generally speaking. Good. Last phrase is this. Love always trusts. And it's really frustrating. If I could go back and just kind of guide Paul as he's writing this letter, I would tell him to leave always out, right? Put sometimes in there, or predicated on how I feel that day, love sometimes trust, right? Or love trust based on my emotions. But he doesn't do that. And there's always a reason why, right? There's always the why behind the what. And it just says that love always trusts. And I think that there are even layers to this in how we trust. I think the first layer is that as hard as it is, as inevitable as it is that somebody's going to hurt you, our responsibility is just to trust in the people that we believe that God has put in our path. Believe that if you've got this sphere of influence, that you've got this world that you live in, and if you believe in providence and you believe that God is sovereign, then he places the people in your life for a reason, even if only for a season. Poetic, I know. And if you believe that God is in control, then you have to trust them. They probably will do some stupid stuff along the way. They are human, after all. You probably will do some stupid stuff along the way. And if there's love, it covers a multitude of sin. And so I think that always trusting, the first layer is that, man, do your best. You're not going to be 100%. You're not going to, you know, get this right all of the time. But just try to trust people. Try to look for the good rather than the bad. Assume the best rather than assuming the worst. Because the second layer of it is this. You got to believe and you've got to trust that God ultimately is in control. And if he's in control of everything, if he created the universe, then he's in control of your little life. And that's not a derogatory statement, but in the grand scheme of things, our lives are small, right? There's 7 billion people on the face of the earth as we speak right now. Our lives aren't very big. It's not too much for God to handle to make sure that the people in your life are in your life for a reason. If we believe Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says that God works all things together for our good. And if we believe that and our trust is in him, then we should trust the people that he places in our life. Does that mean that you're never going to get hurt? Come on now, we're not naive, we're not dumb, we're not stupid, that's not what it means. But it does mean that overall, for the most part, we trust people, we believe that God is good, that God is in control, and the people that he's placed around us, he's placed around us for a reason. Therefore, we trust them. And so I think it's huge, remembering just that love, it's not self-seeking, it does not rejoice with the truth, it always trusts, and that it always, the first one, always, it does not dishonor others. Is so important. So I want to challenge you guys. I was thinking about this. I think I may have even mentioned this a few weeks ago. How many gym people do we have? Not that your name is Jim, but that you go to the gym, right? Yeah, come on, be a little more proud. I know that we've got some gym rats. If you're a gym rat, raise your hand. Or give me like like the grunt from the gym. If you grunt like that at the gym, leave. Just stop. And so I was thinking about, just kind of with respect to vulnerability, I was thinking about, just in a very physical sense, there's these workouts called, where you work out your push muscles and your pull muscles. And this is not an exaggeration. My push muscles are about twice as strong as my pull muscles. And I was thinking about my life. I'm about twice as good at pushing people away as I am at pulling them in and allowing them to come into my life. And I think collectively as a church, we need to exercise our pull muscles a little bit. We need to be intentional about letting people into our lives, opening ourselves up. Share some of your struggles. I mean, what's the worst that can come of that? Somebody's going to talk about you? Ooh, right? We're not in junior high anymore. That doesn't break your world. Right? That's about the worst that can happen to us. And if you, again, take a step back and you realize everything else that's going on in the world, that's not a problem. Deal with it. Suck it up. Open yourself up. Be vulnerable. Share your struggles. Remember, love is not self-seeking. It's not just what you can get. It does not dishonor others, but it chooses to honor, which is adding value to the lives of other people. It does not rejoice, or it does rejoice with the truth. Be honest. Share your experiences, your struggles, your failures, your successes. Be honest, because it rejoices with the truth. And then the last one is that love always trusts. Just remember that ultimately, God is in control. Every detail of your life, God is in control. And that means the people that are in your life, although they seem really unpredictable sometimes, God is in control of your life. Love always trusts. So this week, and you know, the rest of the series, the rest of our lives, hopefully, but let's focus on the short term for a minute, right? Just make sure that you're opening yourself up to people. Don't go through life with these walls up where you don't let people in, because that's, you're robbing them, you're slighting them, you're not honoring them if you do that. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we're thankful for the example of your life and the way that you lived and the way that you opened yourself up to a group of guys, and you shared your time, you shared your experience, you even shared some of your struggles and your fears and the expectation of the things that were going to come. God, I pray that we would just look at your life and see how that translates for us into our daily lives, the way that we live, the way that we relate to other people, and the way that we ultimately understand what love is. That love, God, it does not dishonor others, that it's not self-seeking, that it rejoices with the truth, and that it always trusts, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it doesn't seem like the circumstances are given to being trusting. God, that we would always trust, believing at the end of the day that you are good, that you are in control, and that you are sovereign. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.